Hey there, everybody. This is another episode of the Milestone Hackers Podcast. Today's guest was with Michael Aubrey, who was located on the West Coast, and I am on the East Coast. And I think that distance created a little bit of audio distortion here and there throughout the podcast. It's not too bad, but it's just something that I wanted to mention prior to this episode being listened to in its entirety. And so please do excuse that. Otherwise, it was a great show. Michael has some definitely some positive things to that he talks about and some encouraging stories. And I hope you'll enjoy the episode. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Milestone Hackers Podcast. And I am here joined with another guest by the name of Michael Aubrey. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? Good afternoon. Where are you actually located?
I'm actually in Toronto, Canada.
Nice.
Yes.
Cool, cool. So you guys are like 3 hours difference or 2 hours from the West Coast?
2 hours, yeah. Yeah, so it's okay. Not too bad. It's not cool. Too bad. It's starting to get a little bit cold now. Not that, you know, that's sort of like the stigma is it's freezing up here all the time. It's really not. Wintertime is cold though.
I mean, typically you'd think mid-December it's freezing below 30 degrees. I actually grew up in the Midwest near Chicago. So I've always thought that Toronto and Chicago had similar weather, but maybe you guys are just a little bit off. Haven't been back in a while. I imagine it's freezing cold in Chicago right now.
It probably, yeah. So like we go by like the Celsius, we don't really go by. So I don't know Fahrenheit top of mind, but today Celsius wise, it was like -5 or something like that.
Okay.
So I wasn't like extremely cold, but I mean, it's definitely on its way.
Yeah. I've always wanted to visit Toronto though. I've heard good things.
Yeah. You know what? I'm not sure if you're into sports or not, but, today, the Clippers are playing the Raptors, so Kawhi is back in town.
Oh, nice.
It's like a big thing. Nice. Yeah. That's at 6:45.
So it's one of my goals is to drive up to LA. I'm in San Diego, and I want to go watch the Lakers and Clippers, one of the two, play.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah, exactly.
Trip, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So why don't you, just for the, I guess, listeners, just tell us in terms of, like, your entrepreneurship background or whatever you've sort of been working on. Just tell us like a little bit of maybe who you are and then like what it is that you do.
Yeah. I mean, I'm currently in the kind of prime time of all of what my aspirations were as a younger 20-year-old something person. And also in my late teens, I was actually pretty bad in school. But as I got older, I started to find a passion in technology. And that's when I started to flip the script. And, you know, I grew up, like I said, back in the Midwest, but actually not in Chicago, in a small town, where a lot of people, you know, they don't really get out of this town. They just kind of live, you know, selling cars or, you know, working at the library or something. And I've always had the dream of getting out and moving to the West Coast, and kind of the point that I've always wanted to be in is where I'm at currently, working for myself, building something of value, something that I enjoy building, and turning it into a company, turning it into something that serves other people. And so it's been a journey since then, from that point to where I'm at now. By no means have I made it. It's still the beginning of this new journey. But my goal is always to come out here, kind of learn as much as I could from all the brilliant engineers of Silicon Valley. And I was able to accomplish that over the past 5 years. And in that process, I've acquired probably the most important thing, which is the ability to create amazing software. And I've also learned how to, you know, get customers and build revenue out of that. So that's kind of what I've put my due diligence over the past 5 years into all that, into learning. And now I'm kind of on my own, going off of the savings that I've acquired over the past few years. You know, I've also made some great investments into NVIDIA and other companies that have yielded me some money for the runway that I've now created in creating this product, Story Creator. So Right now it's just a new chapter in my life and in my business and in my endeavor. So it's like the best time to be in. It's not like when you quite made it,
Sure.
But it's not when you're like lost. It's like, you know exactly where you want to go, and you're in that process that you've worked so hard to get to. So I'm really, really excited to wake up every day. And I think it's due to all the years that I've spent preparing myself, you know, for this time that I'm in currently.
Yeah, that sounds actually very fulfilling, and congratulations for making it to this, you know, point where you're happy to, and maybe motivated and engaged to work on something that you've created, and sort of, you know, can dictate where the app or whatever it is you're working on goes. And so you mentioned actually a few things that I kind of wanted to maybe unpack a little bit more is, you know, you mentioned the journey from the small town. And so, like, first, when you're deciding to, I guess, pack up and go, like, what was that, an easy decision for you at that point in time? Or was it just sort of, you know, I have to move in order for me to progress? Like, what actually got you to that point?
So that's a great question. Yeah, no, great question. Like, based on the last kind of little bit, I wasn't sure where to start. This next question leads me perfectly into what I was thinking. And that, like, it all started with like a theory, right? This belief that, like, hey, like, if I'm going to make millions of dollars, if I'm going to be extremely successful, well, there's always the chance that that could be taken away from you, right?
Sure.
So, like, that got me thinking. I was like, you know, I could, like, become a millionaire overnight, but what if that was, like, stripped away from me? What if I won the lottery and that was stripped away from me? What do I truly have at the end of the day? Well, I started to realize, if you're somebody that can acquire wealth, it doesn't come from the amount of money that you have in your bank. It comes from the skills that you have, the knowledge and the understanding to acquire this wealth. So I had this theory that if I could just literally have nothing, would I still be able to climb my way back to the top, right? Would I still be able to climb myself upwards, like financially, in terms of skill, in terms of network, right? Things like that. So my theory was, like, I could just go live in a car in somewhere in California and just start literally from the bottom with like $300 and just keep working myself up. It was a theory. But I believe, like, if one's competent enough, if one understands what the market demands, like in terms of skills and whatnot, then you can work your, if you have the discipline and the determination, you can work your way out of the car into eventually a job, apartment, and then continue to work your way up. And that's, like, to me, was the most important lesson than just making money, right? It's yeah, the sure. ability to lose it and then regenerate it, right? So I had this theory. I was sitting in my buddy's kitchen, you know, having these thoughts, and I was like, dude, I bet that, like, if I go to California and just live in my car, like, that, like, starting from that, like, low of a point, I could work myself up. And that person looked at me, is like, dude, you're crazy. Like, you're talking about, like, being homeless. And then trying to, like, go from that point to, like, what are you talking about, man? I was just like, this guy doesn't get it. I was just like, cause, like, you know, you do care about your friends' opinions, but, like, there was a part of me that was like, sure, like, what are you saying? He's probably right. You know, I'm crazy, but you know what? This is, like, a true belief that I have, like, just, like, intuitive things. Like, I know I'm competent enough. I know that there's, like, a lot of demand in software. And I was reading a lot of books at this time. I was like, you know what? Like, this is a theory, but I have an itch to scratch. Like, that was just kind of, like, my motto this whole time. I was like, if you have an itch to scratch, you have a theory, you just got to, like, go test it, right? You just got to go try it. What's the worst case scenario, right? So, yeah, this just, like, this itch just kept getting bigger and bigger, and, like, little things would push me towards being like, why I don't need to put up this crap. Like whenever, like, I would just have to scrap for, like, you know, $5, like, just like asking my parents for money and stuff like that. I was like, I didn't like that. And at this time, like, I was hustling though. Like, I was running a freelancing business. I was learning how to code at the same time. Mm-hmm. I was working on, like, free apps for, like, basketball leagues I was in and stuff. But I wasn't really, like, turning it into, like, a huge, like, amount of money. Like, cashiers were probably making more money than me, or, like people, like, I worked at phone stores were making more money than me. I was probably making, like, $500 to $1,000 a month, right? Just okay. doing, like, a few, like, graphic design projects at the time. This is, like, when I'm in my late teens. But then, like, I decided to just, like, fully commit myself to reading and learning how to code. Mm-hmm. But the problem was, like, I was doing this in my mom's house, and she didn't really understand. She just, like, saw me cooped up in the room all day. She's, like, kind of, like, concerned about it. She didn't really know what my future would hold. And she would get on me, right? So eventually she got on me to the point where I was like, all right, I'm not dealing with this. This is not helping me. I'm just taking off. I'm just going to go.
Sure.
And so that's basically when I just, like, packed up, and I just, you know, I did the math on how much, like, it would cost in terms of gas, I put an ad online where I used to get clients, and I knew I would get a client.
Sure.
Finally, you know, on my trip all the way out to the West Coast, I did get that client. So that was good. And basically just worked out of coffee shops along the way.
Okay. So you posting, wherever you posted, that client gave you enough freeway to sort of, I guess, give you a little bit more runway, more
exactly,
time.
Exactly. Cause like, yeah, okay. I just needed the basics, right? Like I had the shelter with the car, right? And it was a Pontiac Vibe 2003. So it was, the seats folded down and it was comfortable enough. It got the job done, provided me with heat, you know, I got a camping blanket.
Sure.
So I got one of those, like, and in the California weather, especially up north, like the coldest it got was like 40 degrees. So I had the shelter, I had the warmth, I had everything I needed. I just needed like obviously enough money for food. And then like enough money for like hygiene. So like I got the gym membership at 24 Hour Fitness.
Sure.
So I was able to, you know, go there, work out, which is great. Cause like everything that like successful people will tell you is like the most powerful thing is presence. Right. So like you could be broke, you could be poor, but like there's no better time than now. Like now doesn't care about how much money you have in your bank account. Obviously money is like oxygen. It's important,
sure,
but like just being able to go to the gym and lift weights and just be present. Right. Like I was happy. Like I was truly happy at that point. But it was also because I was on my purpose. Like I was doing things for like to get better at coding, to work on figuring out what that software I wanted to build was, to be able to acquire the skills to build that software, to network with the right people. And so I knew it was on my purpose, and I was just able to be really grateful for where I was at. And I never had one doubt, never was really fearful. Like I was just, because of those things, like the presence and the gratitude, I was just able to enjoy life at that time. Those times were great. And so I really enjoyed that. And that's just kind of how I got started. Eventually I started talking to the right people. Then I started working at a startup just a few months into that journey, making $75,000 for my first endeavor. And for me, like that, like Bay Area salary, that's not much. But for me, I was like, holy shit, I'm going from my living to a car making $75,000. This is great.
That's all. That's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. My theory is starting to pay off at this point. I'm like,
okay, yeah, cool. Exactly. And so how long did that stint where between when you got there, when you got this first, I guess, job, like how long was that approximately?
This was, I think, like 4 months or less.
Okay.
I can't quite remember. I think it was in April of 2015. I think it was just a few months before that. So yeah, it didn't really take that long, but funny enough, I love living in the car so much that even when I got the job, I continued to live in the car to save money. It was just fun. It felt nomadic and it was just great.
Everything was there. And actually, it's funny you mentioned the type of car, because my father drives a Pontiac Vibe, actually. So I know the car well. Oh, nice. Yeah, it's hilarious. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not the most, I mean, the seats do fold down and it is like actually spacious back there. So it's not bad. It's not bad.
I guess the job done.
And so like in terms of, okay, so once you got there and you went to these coffee shops, you're working, you got some gigs to kind of keep you going. And at the same time, you're kind of, I guess, learning to code or whatever. But so like, how did you progress with that? Like in coding itself, did you just sort of code every day?
I would say that I built a good foundation back home. Like when I spent like a good year just locking myself up in the room, like I would go out and hang out with friends every now and then. I wasn't sure. didn't completely isolate myself, but I did like dedicate a lot of that year, like night and day, just learning how to code. Mm-hmm. And that kind of got things kickstarted, that like started the momentum there. What really helped me, if anybody's listening that is a coder themselves, what really helped me was that my basketball league, the basketball league I participated in, me and the guy that runs it, talked about having a stats tracker, like something to track the stats of the game, right?
Yeah.
And this got me thinking, like, what if we could build something like that that's digital, right? Like something that's like has a database that's more organized. And that thought, this all comes from a thought, right? That led me to Googling some stuff, which led me to learning like PHP, which then eventually led me to learning JavaScript. Mm-hmm. And then people were talking about all the frameworks at the time, which was Backbone. And they were just teaching me like, on Stack Overflow, like what's the modern tools to use and how to use them. And I would do more research and I would just keep diving deeper and deeper. And then eventually I got the first version of the stats tracker built, and it was pretty crappy. But then I just kept iterating on it. And every time we needed something better and we just wanted the code to be more efficient, et cetera, I would just keep iterating and keep learning. And because of that, I was able to learn probably the fastest, because I was working on a real problem, right? And not just doing toy problems after toy problems, but actually trying to solve a real problem.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. So if someone's like, do you have any like tips on how to like to learn? Is it just sort of getting books, or is it online, or is it courses? Is there anything that you would say to someone like maybe today who's starting to learn?
I mean, yeah? I would say that, you know, there is tons of information out there, and that could, that's definitely a good thing because you have the abundance, but it's also a bad thing kind of because it can be overwhelming. So you really need to stay focused on, again, solving that problem. Like if there's something that you find in your hometown or in your life amongst your friend group that could be solved, even if it's already been solved. Like I think the most standard app that people build is like a to-do app, but maybe you can put your own little twist on it if like you can't really come up with any other ideas. But basically, having a problem that you know you want to solve, and then just using whatever resources you have available and solving that, right? And that'll just lead you down the correct path. Like that is a skill to have, right? To be able to know how to do research, how to Google, basically. And I would not go against courses. I think courses are amazing.
Sure.
But when the courses are relevant to like exactly what you're trying to solve, whatever you're trying to build, if that course like, kind of entails at least 80% of it entails the things that you're going to be using in your current project, then take that course.
Got it.
Is what I would
say.
Yeah,
it makes sense. And I guess it's sort of to add on to that, something that I found was helpful or is helpful still is just having like a network. So someone who I can like bounce ideas off of, or even bounce like certain issues that I'm facing when I'm like,
Extremely valuable. And I didn't have that back in Illinois. That's the thing. One of the things that like really, really made me want to move to San Francisco was the fact that like people thought the things that I was talking about was very alien, right? Nobody wanted to talk about coding. Nobody even knew what that was. And so I started reading books and I started realizing like feedback loops are important. Like you're going to, if you go to the right place, like the right location on the map, you're going to find other people that are super passionate about the thing that you're passionate about. And if you can find that, that's good because they'll start to build you up. You'll start to feed off of that. And like you just said, like that's important to have that network. People that are thinking like you're thinking and are talking about the same things, or at least people that are even a little bit better than you are, they can kind of lead you to the path on the path that you want to go. So
that's great. Exactly. Yeah. And so that's what I found was helpful for me. Cause you know, sometimes trying to make something where I'm just like totally new and then I run into a problem. Okay, fine. I Google things. That's okay. But then I find like it's taking me time to find a solution. I find the solution. And then like literally like 20 minutes later, oh, there's another problem. So it's like, I was kind of stuck in that loop where I kept like problem Google, right?
I think that's something that where my crazy just kind of shows. I literally will like just bang my head against the wall for hours until like I finally make a breakthrough.
You gotta get it. Yeah. Yeah.
And that does happen. I would agree, like everyone, especially nowadays, like mentors, and that is important. But I think there is something to just like banging your head against the wall and not quitting until you find the answer. And yes, there's always another problem that presents itself, but it is a very problem solving based business in software engineering. You're constantly solving problems. So sure. Being able to have the resources and the critical thinking to solve those problems is a skill.
I agree. Okay. So then sort of just, I guess going back a little bit, you'd mentioned when you're in the car still, you also got a membership to the gym. And so did that, like by going to the gym, lifting weights or whatever else routines you do, did that sort of bring up your confidence level? Did that just keep you grounded? Did that just like, what did that do like in terms of the importance to contribute to like your success?
Yeah. I mean, I've always been into fitness. I played basketball in high school and football, and it's always been an important part of my life. And it still is. I'll never forget on my journey to the West Coast. I remember I was so determined to be fit and get stronger that I stopped in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And I did YMCA membership at the time because my mom was paying for the membership back home. And so I was still part of that temporarily. So I remember waking up in my car at like 5 o'clock in the morning and then seeing the sunrise behind the beautiful Wyoming mountains. And I just remember like before I hit the road, before I make my quest to California, I got to go get this workout in. And I remember going to the YMCA and you know, there's people playing badminton at 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. People are just getting their day started. I just remember going under the bench and just like lifting as heavy as I could and just being like, holy shit, this is awesome. Like I'm a free man. I can just, you know, do whatever I, you know, it was a great feeling. And, you know, fitness has always been a part of my routine, been a part of my life. It's mentally challenging, physically challenging, and it always keeps me, you know, sharp. And so, you know, especially when I got to California, it was a principle of mine to always, even when I didn't feel like I could go to the gym, just to keep myself disciplined, just to keep progressing and just to like shock myself and wake myself up. It makes me feel like if I'm ever derping or falling asleep, the gym kind of kicks me back into gear.
Yeah. And I have to like agree with you there. And for me, like I go myself and I'm pretty avid of going as well, as much as I can. And I find like,
that's good.
For whatever reason, if I don't go, then I just get in a crappy mood, really. And I don't know what it is, but I guess like by going to the gym, like I guess I release those, whatever it is. I guess that's the way I deal with stress, maybe.
Endorphins. Yeah.
Yeah. I just push it out there.
Absolutely.
And then when I come home, I'm like, I can deal with things again. And I realized this like a while back where, you know, I would go for a while, then I would stop for a while, then I'm sort of back and forth. And then I realized when I don't go, I'm just like, just way more grumpy. I mean, you know, that's just the way it is. And so I made it a habit of going. Also, of course, I feel good. And that sort of helps with confidence, et cetera. But also, yeah, it keeps me like level-minded, like level-headed, I guess, maybe the way to describe it. So yeah, so I think it's important to be active.
And that's important. And
yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah, to have like, you know, that fitness aspect in check as well is I think, of course, healthy, but beneficial in other ways too. So, I mean, it gets you out.
Yeah, I would
you get
say to meet with people. That though, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, that's great. Like, it's good to be social. Like, you don't want to lock yourself up. But I would say like with that though, I've seen people take it to the extreme where it's like, they have to be working out, or they kind of body shame themselves, or they shame themselves.
Sure.
I think like it's definitely important to go to the gym, but you have to like with anything have balance. Like I do see some people that are just like way too OCD and way too critical on themselves. And that's never good, because it's like, if they miss a gym session or whatever, they start to go down this like negative loop, this like negative spiral downwards, where it's like, oh, I missed the gym, and then like the rest of their day is shitty just because of that one kind of sure. hiccup. Mm-hmm. I would say like don't like, if you miss it every now and then, it's okay. Like, that's okay. Don't be too hard on yourself, I would say.
Yeah, and I agree with that as well, because I've heard a lot of people who are like kind of like strict in terms of like the food they eat, for example, and then, you know, they might have a hiccup
right.
for whatever reason, and then instead of just sort of moving on from that, it kind of spirals for like days or weeks or whatever, and then kind of go backwards in that sense. But you're
absolutely.
Right. I mean, like
absolutely.
Everyone makes
that's mistakes. Not sustainable.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. Okay, so then why don't you just sort of just maybe give us a little bit of an idea of what Story Creator is and like what its use case is.
Right. So Story Creator is basically a video editing app. That's what it is. But I've built it kind of inspired by Canva to make it easier for non-video editors to create video. So yeah, I mean, there's obviously a come up of content creators in the world today. People are starting to see the value of it. And I wanted to be able to be a part of that in a different way. I wanted to be able to provide people a tool to get their messages out there, to be able to tell stories, basically, and eventually you know, sell their products or ideas or services through storytelling. You know, what Craig Ballantyne calls it, story selling. Right. So I want to turn it into like a marketing tool mixed with, you know, content creation. Eventually, I'd like to add some analytics and basically turn it into this tool that people can use for their, you know, social media like content that, you know, kind of like the TV networks back in the day, like the tools that they had.
Sure.
Where they could like understand who their audience was and understand how much time of their shows are being watched, being able to schedule out reruns, being able to make graphic overlays onto the commercials or the videos and stuff like that. Like all of our attention is shifting away from like old television to like our phones and to Instagram and social media and all that stuff. So I just wanted to be a part of that and create a tool that basically helps you just create beautiful video content. I still feel like there's a huge demand for that. Mm-hmm. I think the story creator inside of Instagram itself is pretty good, but I think it lacks the ability to have like cuts between clips. I think it lacks the ability to have like, it doesn't have like templates. It doesn't have the ability to have a little bit more flexibility with your creation process. So I want to have that balance of like giving you the ability to be really creative with your video, but making it easy enough that you don't have to learn a complicated video tool like After Effects or Premiere or Sony Vegas or exactly. whatever. That's my goal with that.
Perfect. And so is this like still a working creation then, or is it sort of almost done? Or
no, well, it's almost done. My goal is to launch from Product Hunt in under a month, in like a week or two. It's been in development for a few months now, and it's in a pretty good place. Like, you can make some pretty cool videos. I have some very, very, very basic templates on there, some very basic animated text options on there. I am connected with like Unsplash and a lot of these like open source like photos and videos. So it's really easy for you to create content without having to post your own content. So you can mix and match those open pieces of content with your own, or just purely use those own for if you just want to like use more words than put your face out on there. So okay. Yeah, I mean, look for it in a few weeks. If anybody wants to do beta testing, I'd be happy to work with you on that.
Definitely. Okay. So I'll include that information in the show notes for everyone who's listening, who can't sort of write it down at the moment.
Cool. And, that'd be amazing.
Yeah. Hopefully they can check that out. And so you did answer my next question was in terms of like, how are you going to market or how are you going to push for the market? So you mentioned Product Hunt, which is obviously
a
key strategy there.
Exactly. I really want to make sure it's like a really, really well put together product. So I'm constantly iterating. I have a lot of friends helping. I have a bunch of friends back in San Francisco. Whenever I go up there, they always like to give me some feedback, and they've worked in the tech space and do work in the tech space. So I'm just constantly iterating, and I want to get it into this point where just it's so easy for the users to come on, create a video, manage their videos. And so once it gets to that point, I'll be spending a little bit more money on advertising on Instagram and stuff like that. Right now, it's just really just getting a slow, steady amount of people on there, maybe one a day or so, and just getting as much feedback as I can, figuring out what problems are worth solving at the same time. Since the product is so raw, I kind of want to leave it a little bit raw so that like, and also at the same time, get on as many user interviews as I can and start to really understand the market so that I can build ultimately the best tool in that space. But yeah, in terms of marketing, yeah, I will get paid advertisements, partnerships, I think will be good. Starting to work on partnerships. Mm-hmm. And I've been reaching out to a lot of people on Instagram and stuff like that. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, I want it to be a product that kind of sells itself, where people just love it so much that they talk about it with their friends. So that's the goal to get to that point.
Great. And so you mentioned something important there, which was, you know, like as you're sort of, I guess, tinkering with this as weeks and months go by, you know, you're talking to that hopefully potential user who can give you some, you know, whatever use case that they need it or some feature that they will like, or maybe like some feedback in terms constantly. Of like change this. Yeah. So that's huge. Cause a lot of times when I'm sort of speaking to various people, like I guess in the entrepreneurial side of things, some of them, like they don't really reach out until like late, like very late. And it's sort of like, they're missing such an opportunity to sort of like make this, I guess, product better for not only themselves, but also for the end user. Right. So
yeah,
I'm glad you mentioned that you're talking to people and sort of trying to get that sort of initial feedback coming in. I mean, of course, when you launch, you're going to get probably a lot more feedback, which is the idea.
Absolutely.
So good that you're doing that.
Yeah. With that, I would say real quickly though, like I've learned a lot of this like through Indie Hackers and Product Hunt. I would say I was in the, you know, in the past, I was in a different camp where, you know, I was stealth mode or I wouldn't tell anybody and I would just code. But mm-hmm. I realized like that becomes like an egotistical thing where it's like, you're too scared to share with the world because you're scared that like they might shatter all the work that you put in. Mm-hmm. You really just have to be objective about it. You really have to realize that the code that you're writing, the product that you're building is not about you. Like, it's cool that you get to create this and that's an amazing feeling, but what it's really about is solving the problem and what the users experience, and that you really have to get into that mindset if you want a product to get out of localhost, right? Like, you need to really think, what do the users want?
And so when you had that, I guess when you were in that first camp side of things, and then when you realized that, you know, getting it out there is also important, like, was there like a moment where that switch came? Like, was it through conversation, or was it through just like yourself?
It was sort just of patterns. It's just patterns. Like okay. Every podcast that I listen to, it's like, this is the answer. This is the answer. It just kept smacking me in the face. And I was just like, I'd be a fool not to like start taking this advice. And it was just slow and steady. I put out the link to be public pretty early on. And I let open the floodgates. I'm just like, here, check this out. And some people were like, you know, this is working, or some people would go to it and they would just leave, whatever. I would just let it open. And it was a slow and steady process. And you start to learn what's important. You start to prioritize your values straight.
Awesome. Great. And believe it or not, we are running out of time. I mean, this has been fantastic. I would definitely love to have you back on to sort of continue, because I'm sure there's a lot more we can chat about. But one thing before I let you go is maybe like an entrepreneur who's starting out in anything, business, code, whatever, anything like you can offer in terms of maybe like some type of tip that can help them sort of if they're stuck, maybe thinking of like, okay, taking a leap into this entrepreneurial world.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that, you know, it is like a game of chess. And you just gotta play and you gotta be okay with losing. You can't really have fear. You just got to do it. I mean, you have to, like, before you take this endeavor, you have to realize what's at stake, what's actually at stake. Like, you're not going to lose your life. If you're competent enough, even if you fail your business endeavor, you're going to figure out a way to, you know, maybe move back in with your parents for a little bit and then start building yourself back up. Like at the end of the day, the worst case scenario is not death, right? So you might as well just go do it. Exactly. You got nothing to lose. Have no fear, and just try and just take that leap.
Perfect. Well said. Okay. So then, where can anybody connect with you if they're interested in doing so?
Yeah. You can follow me on Instagram. I like to post daily updates through my stories of what I'm working on, what I'm doing, hanging out with the pups and stuff. It's Instagram.com/MichaelAubry, no E-A-U-B-R-Y, Michael Aubry. Same as Twitter. I'm on there as my friends are on there as well. They've convinced me to partake in the tweeting, and I've been loving it as of recent. Awesome. And so that's the same thing, /MichaelAubry or @MichaelAubry. And then also cool. storycreatorapp.com if you want to get a little sample of the product.
Cool. Can anybody sort of sign up for that product right now?
Yeah, you can just sign up, go to storycreatorapp.com and then create a new story or whatever. There's a button there and it'll take you to the login screen. You just log in and then you can just try to create your first video. And if it doesn't work or if you have any issues, let me know. I'd love to talk it through with you and learn from you.
Cool. So there you have it, folks. And I will, again, make sure that I put all this information into the show notes. So that's easy, nice and easy for you to go and check out Story Creator App. And Michael, if you're so inclined to do so, Michael, I really do appreciate your time. And this has been an amazing podcast. Just your stories alone with, you know, sort of making things happen, I hope are inspiring. They're inspiring for me, but I hope anybody listening would also sort of take that and run with it. So I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a process. Be patient, and you'll make it. And if you shoot for the what is it? If you shoot for the moon, you'll land amongst the stars. So just start today, though. You don't have that much time, so keep it moving.
Said best. Right. Thank you, Michael. I appreciate your time. Right. Take care.
All right. Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye. Alrighty, and there's another episode of the Milestone Hacker Podcast. And how great was that conversation with Michael? I mean, you know, just the story about him like living in a car and sort of packing up everything that he knew and was comfortable at home and sort of just packed up and left for the horizon. I mean, we can all gain a little bit more of that type of encouragement. And I hope that conversation was motivating and insightful for you all. And if that is the case, then please do check out iTunes and leave a rating or a review. That definitely helps with getting the show a little bit more exposure out there. That would be greatly appreciated. And that's it for this one. And I will catch you all on the next one. Take care.